scripture lesson today is printed in the bulletin. So now let us hear and speak the word of God from Hebrews chapter 2. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of our salvation perfect through suffering. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, saying, "Claim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, here am I and the children of God." Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the power of death and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that Jesus did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. This is the word of the Lord. Well, another year is behind us, and a new year is before us. And what a year it was. In fact, you've probably seen some montages of what 2016 was like. I created my own montage, Kevin. This is what happened in 2016. This is all that happened in 2016. According to my montage. You know, yeah, it was a good year for Chris Bryant and the Cubbies. And montages are helpful. How many of you have seen montages on TV this past week? They've been all over. And they're helpful because they remind us of what we already know. And why is that? Because, oh, how quickly we forget. That's not unlike these passages from Hebrews this morning. They're sort of like a montage. The writer of Hebrews wanted to remind the early church what they already know, who Jesus was and who we are to Jesus. So I'm going to do this very kind of like a Sunday school teacher. We're going to look at this scripture in the bulletin today and look at the first paragraph in the bulletin where it says, "It is fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist," what's that second line say, "should make the pioneer of our salvation perfect through suffering?" Well, what does a pioneer do? Forges ahead, that's right, absolutely. Blazes the trail so that others may follow. I looked up on the Millburn Historical website this week, something I always do around Christmas time, and to find out what Lake County was like about 200 years ago. And I expected that the early folks here had found lots and lots and lots of prairie grouse. I expect they found that all over Illinois. But what I didn't know is, what do you think the early pioneers found here in Lake County? Lakes, lots and lots and lots of water. And they said it was such that if people had to do business or trade down in Chicago, that half the year they would ice skate down there. I thought that was pretty interesting. And I also thought, I couldn't last 1 second on ice skates. So I am so grateful that the pioneers had the vision and the perseverance and the determination to pave the way so that future generations could get to our destination without having to don a pair of skates. Well, and this is sort of what Hebrews is saying to the early church. not about ice skates. Jesus didn't pave the way with ice skates, but for his life, with his life. Because all through Hebrews, you'll hear the writer talk about Jesus is our new high priest, because up until then, people had to sacrifice and go to a high priest and ask the priest to get access to God. And the writer says, no, Jesus, because of Jesus, he blazed the trail for you. Everyone now has direct access to God. So Jesus truly is our pioneer blazing the trail. Now, Hebrews goes on to tell us who we are. Let me see, where's my bulletin? The first line under all. See what it says? For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. That's who we are. We belong to the family. We belong to God. I don't know how many people spent the holiday, the Christmas this week, sometime with family members that you don't usually spend it with. Okay. All right. Truth be known, we probably all have someone we'd like to drop from our family tree. We all have that. I was at the hairdresser, and she was pretty upset. In fact, she kept cutting my hair, but she was telling me about a relative about whom she was really disappointed, and I know she was wanting to get me very excited about it, say, oh, can you believe this person did it? She's not carrying on the core values of the family. She wasn't raised to be like this. Why is she doing this? And I'm just going, can you pay attention, you know, over here? I was not engaged. And she looked at me, she goes, why aren't you upset? This is happening in my family. I said, it happens in everyone's family. We all, and sometimes it's us who make the others crazy. We all have someone that just doesn't carry the freight. Well, our scripture in Hebrews says we're a part of God's family, almost like siblings to Jesus. Even when we are the ones who shame or anger God or simply make God crazy, who don't carry on the family values, we are still part of the family. And it's not because we were born into this family. It's because God chose Jesus to be born unto us on Christmas Day. So there is nothing we can do. There is nothing we can ignore or can't do that can drop us from the family tree, that can uninvite us to this great banquet, not only this communion table, but the great banquet of all believers that is promised and spoken about in the Bible. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, and I don't know about you, but I am so glad that God isn't ashamed of me, even when I'm ashamed of myself. What a blessing. So do you see how this passage from Hebrews just reminds the early church, remember who you are and who Jesus is to you. Now let me ask, if you were to do a montage of your life, what would you show? Perhaps, like the montage I showed, it would be all the good stuff. Oh, here I am smiling, here I am happy, look at here I am achieving stuff. It'd be all the good stuff. But sometimes, but always, that's not what our life consists of. There are dark crevices we would just like to ignore. My husband, who is here, he's on sabbatical, and and he's talking about art. He said, I want to take time to study art and to perhaps try my hand at something. And he said yesterday at the table, now, okay, I got to admit, I'm football brain. I'm not the artistic one. And he said, I think I'm more of an expressionist than a realist. And I'm going, I think Ohio State's going to be Clemson. But, you know, I liked his artistic thoughts. It got me going. And I thought, if I were to draw a painting or a picture of my life, what would it be like? And I got to admit that sometimes it would just be scribbles or lines that seem to dead end and go nowhere, or just a disjointed mess with no discernible picture. And you know, that's when I need to remember the miracle of Christmas, that God sent Jesus Christ to be with us, even though being with us, sharing a life like ours, is really messy. Messy. So, bulletin, looking at the last line of the bulletin. The very last line of the scripture, because Christ himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help we who are being tested. That means Jesus chose to get messy. And that means there is no suffering, no pain that hasn't been experienced by Jesus that we can ever possibly experience. Fear, poverty, anger, betrayal, heartbreak, humiliation, you name it, Jesus has been there. Jesus knows that it's not the particular circumstances of what's going on, but the pain and the harm it does to our souls and his heart and our hearts. And his heart was broken and hurt too. So that's one reason why the writer of Hebrews, his words are still relevant today, because there is no suffering back in the early church, today, or back when Jesus went through, that Jesus endured that we can ever, ever endure. We are never alone. I have a friend named Melinda, and she moved to Nashville about 2 years ago once her husband was diagnosed with ALS. And ALS is a terrible disease. And they had always wanted to move south, and her husband said, before I die, let's go settle there. Well, Melinda started keeping a Facebook post, on their sinking into the depths of ALS. And what do you think she called it? Pain, suffering, sinking, ALS, the cursed disease. She called it our journey with God. And she kept posting very honest, painful posts, but also talked about the grace she found, they all found in the midst, how they could laugh in the midst of the pain. And someone commented fairly recently, she said, Melinda, you are amazing. And Melinda wrote back immediately, I'm not amazing, God is amazing. And her husband, who watched a bowl game yesterday? Did you see the all state hands behind the goalposts? That was his job. He was in charge of, he started the all state hands behind the goalposts, and he used to go around to different football games. He was vibrant, he was intelligent, he was funny, he was just delightful. Well, he died just before Christmas, and he suffered enormously his last few weeks. Yet Melinda has refused to allow suffering to be the last word. Even at his death, she rejoiced. She announced his death by saying, he is at home with God. He is free. He is at peace. And she wrote, the last post she has written, really big, she wrote, in the darkest times of our lives, our praise to God can be the loudest. Suffering is not unique to any one of us. It was shared, endured by Jesus so that we never, ever have to go through it alone. Well, I don't know what this new year will bring. I'm hoping it's a healthy one. I'm hoping it's a good one for us all. I'm hoping our montage will have more victories on it. But regardless of what happens, let's remember that we have a Savior who's done the heavy lifting for us. And because of Jesus Christ, the montages, the messes of our lives have been turned into masterpieces. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Happy New Year.